Led in prayer by Brother Darcy Andrus.
Our most kind, all-wise, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, again we approach Thee in the name of Thy dear Son to thank Thee for the privilege of gathering here this day to consider Thy Word, Thy plans and purposes, to receive a greater measure of Thy Holy Spirit and appreciate more Thee and all these things. Father, we pray Thy blessing upon this gathering, and especially upon Brother Charlie as he breaks again into to us the bread of life. We thank Thee and praise Thee. We pray for Thy people the world over. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Brother Charlie Chambers from Vancouver, B.C., I'm sure everyone knows him here. I don't think there's anyone that doesn't know Brother Charlie. Always served us faithfully in the past, and he always kind of gives us an insight to his thoughts. And in this case, the finishing touches. The finishing touches. Brother Charlie, please. Lord bless you.
Thank you, dear Brother Don, Brother Darcy. What can we do without the Lord's blessing? One is your master, though, and all ye are brethren. Let's never forget that. We're all pupils in the school, and there's only one master in this house. Well, I'm very thankful to be here, grateful to the Seattle brethren, your kindness and invitation. Brethren don't serve except by invitation, and we are thankful for the privilege of being here. You see, I have the privilege of doing something that none of you have the privilege of doing. I'm 1 year old now. Last month, I celebrated my first birthday. You see, I'm starting all over again. I got a birthday card to prove it, too. 1 year old. Well, I thought about our subject, the finishing touches. And with one more year ahead and starting, for my part, there's still more work to go on. Finish, Lord, Thy new creation. Isn't that beautiful? That's what we all want to be done. In us and around us and in each other and helping each other to this very end. Well, I do bring the love from Vancouver and from Dan and family. They always think of the brethren when they were little tots when they came down here. Never missed a convention in their early days, and Ian and Lorna, and so they have sweet memories too. And while they have not embraced the truth, let us never forget our children, that once the truth and its beauty and logic comes through, it stays. They never forget it. And it controls their lives to a great degree, and we are grateful for that in our case as well. Well, the finishing touches. Should this topic concern us in any sense? Well, I'm sure that you would say yes. We would like, first of all, to concern ourselves with our topic in the sense of, let us take a view of the events that have transpired to date. And then maybe it'll stimulate us to a greater understanding and appreciation of the sense of the text, finish, Lord, Thy new creation. Yes, the finishing touches. So let's see some of these events that have meant so much to you and to me, and that have passed in the panoramic activities of the centuries and of the recent years, and find out where we are, and let's see if it'll do anything for us in the sense of the finishing touches. So, first of all, the top of the list, I have Matthew 25:6. What a great event that was when the Lord's people realized, behold the bridegroom. Not behold the bridegroom cometh in the sense that through the centuries, the Lord's people had been anticipating the Lord to come at His second advent. And all through the stages of the church, of the seven stages, with always the thought, I will come unto thee. I will come unto thee quickly. I will come unto thee as a thief. And those were hints that the Lord indeed was coming. And then finally in the seventh stage, He says, I stand at the door and knock. A great event had transpired in the pages of history, unknown by the people, the majority of people, and made known unto us. Behold the bridegroom. Well, that's very significant. That means the Lord's plans and purposes have moved along in a definite direction. For He said He would go away, but He would come again. John 14:1-3. That where I am, there ye may be also. Very event, great event, very significant. It would indicate then that those promises that He said, that you will be with me, that His church then will join with Him. Yes, that would add to the thought, we better get along in our lives with our finishing touches so that we might meet Him. Then we think in terms of this wonderful harvest. Oh, yes, we are told in Matthew that the 13th chapter, verse 39, that the harvest is the complete consummation of the age. And we get the feeling that indeed do we see evidences that we are in a harvest. We say yes again. Because what we see today and the fruitage? No, not necessarily. It's hard to interest people. But what we have seen totally during the past 113 years, there is every evidence we have been in and passing through this harvest at the end of the age. And 113 years? Whew, there can't be very much time left, really, to make our calling and election sure. Let's get on with the finishing touches, in other words. Yeah, that is startling in the view of the fact that the Lord in this pyramid here is completing that little pyramid S as it goes up in the harvest time to plane L and that little pyramid R as the Lord's people join each other on that plane and then on to plane K to the marriage of the Lamb. Getting that close, you say? Yes, it's getting that close. All significant and related to our subject then, the finishing touches. These things are to incite us, brethren, so that we know where we are in the stream of time. And so we go on to Israel, has continued to be established in the promised land. Jesus said, as one of the answers, Matthew 24:32, when you see the fig tree putting forth leaves. Just to see a fig tree blossom, bloom, and so on. No, the nation of Israel is represented by that fig tree. And therefore, when we see the fig tree putting forth leaves of profession, of being a nation again, then it's to instill us an awareness of where we are in the stream of time so that the finishing touches can be done in our lives and in respects to the church as a whole. Yes, indeed, the bones have come together, the sinews have come on, and the skin. Ezekiel 37:1-12. These bones are the whole house of Israel, verse 12. We know what's represented there. But there is no breath in it yet. There's no life in it. That life will come under the new covenant arrangement. Ezekiel 16:60-63. That He will take them back and He will wash them and cleanse them. And you will be free from that guilt against your former law and your acts and behaviors. And I will write within you my law within your heart. Then they will have the life under the inauguration of the new covenant. There can be no life in the nation of Israel today, marvelous as it is that they have returned, and those promises are being fulfilled in prophecies. But life before the Lord in connection with that new covenant still it lies ahead a little bit. But the time is narrowing down. The time is narrowing down. Life and breath under new covenant arrangement. Then we think of the spiritual Israel has approached what? Approached unto Mount Zion. We read that in Hebrews 12:22. Since the sleeping saints were awakened, they have topped that mountain. You and I have approached unto Mount Zion, that kingdom to be established in the heavenly phase and the earthly phase. Mount Zion, the heavenly phase, has been established. All it requires is the last members, the last few members to join those beyond the grave. So they have come to Mount Zion way back there in 1878 when we believe the saints were resurrected. We are living, according to Revelator 10th chapter, verse 7, in the days of the sounding of the seventh trump when the mystery of God will be completed. That is the mystery in the sense of the entire plan of salvation will be brought to a consummation at this time as it inaugurates and on into the millennial age. We are right there. And the mystery of God, the church, which is the mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That mystery will be completed. The church will be perfected and changed and go into glory. In this time, 1 Thessalonians tells us of the significance of the days we're in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 to 18. Michael has descended. He's not going to descend. Michael has descended way back when, 113 years ago. He came and returned. He's been blowing a trumpet. It is the trumpet of gladness and inciting the people to liberty and to their rights and justice and so on throughout the land. That has been going on. It's not something to be expected yet, but it's well along. Sometimes it's kind of scary. Is it later than we think? These are events then, I believe, as I reflected in my mind, to instill in us an awareness of where we are on the stream of time. Then we think of the Gentile times. Luke 21:24, Daniel 2:44. The Gentile times have ended. They're not going to end. There are still brethren that are confused and do not understand or appreciate that they had a lease. The Gentiles had a lease. 2,520 years, which you are aware of. And because there are Gentiles still around, they argue, how can you say the Lord is reigning when the Gentiles are still here? Well, the Lord didn't say they would be all gone when the lease ran out. He merely said that he gave them a lease. And you and I appreciate the reason why, so that no time in the history of the world in the future would they ever be able to say, well, Lord, if you had have given the Grecian Empire a try, those people back there, why, they might have been able to establish this golden age that you have promised and talked about through all the prophets. The Lord says, okay, I'll give them a chance. So he gave the Medes and the Persians and the Romans and Nebuchadnezzar and those governments all an opportunity. And then their lease ran out. 2,520 years of opportunities to establish peace and happiness and equity upon this earth. But they failed. So when the lease ran out, all the Lord had to do was hand the lease to them. You see, it's all up. Now I am going to evict you. And the kingdoms are still around. If he's going to evict them, well, they've got to be on the scenes. So that makes sense to Daniel 2:44, doesn't it? As one of those events that we must recognize is ongoing. In the days of these kings, while they're still here, he was going to set up a kingdom. And so that heavenly phase is in process of being established. Now, when that is completed, then according to Daniel in this story, 44 and so on, then we find that that little stone does strike the image, which I believe myself was in 1914. When he exercised that authority in keeping with the lease. He couldn't start before. That wouldn't be right. When you give a lease to a man to live in a house for so many years, you just can't come and start evicting him before time. But when that lease ran out right on time, the present Lord was there and he began to evict him. Now, brethren, if we saw no signs of an eviction, then I would begin to wonder and worry about what we accept as the times of the Gentiles on that particular date. But as you and I look and reflect back then to 1914, there's no question in our minds, is there, brethren, that that stone struck and began the grinding process. And from sizes of boulders down to smaller rocks and down to finally, according to Daniel, it would be like powder, like dust on the summer threshing floor. And the winds of discord and winds of wars and revolution will blow it away. And at that point, according to Daniel, that stone begins to grow, not before, but it begins to grow when it's done that work in the earth. And then I believe that's well suggestive of the establishment of the earthly phase of the kingdom. So you and I are down on the tail end, really. And there's a lot of dust blowing around the world today as the Lord grinds away by his authority, whose right it is, who has come and is doing that grinding. Now, these are events that are transpiring all around us. I merely mention these in sequence because of their importance to us. Finishing touches that is going on at the present time. It is indeed late. Yes, it has been taking place. And it could be, therefore, later than we really think. And using a modern, very effective expression of our day, and excuse me for using it, but I think it says so much. You better believe it. You know how people use that. You know what is meant by that. You can't deny the facts, in other words. And nor can we deny the facts, brethren, of these events that we have seen with our eyes. Not things that are anticipated. I remember years ago, brethren warning us when trends were changing amongst us, the Bible students. Are we of those that are expecting these things in the future? Or have we become blind to an awareness that these things are ongoing? Well, we are aware that they are ongoing. And by heeding these things, we are alert then to where we are on the stream of time. So back to our subject, the finishing touches. How do we relate it to ourselves? Well, in John 17, 3 to 4, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Jesus was aware of the time elements and that which was necessary in his own life for his own crystallization to provide the ransom, to suffer and die and pour out his soul unto death and to announce the establishment of a kingdom in the earth and to give us and announce a glorious gospel. He had a work to do, but he was on a time schedule. He just didn't listlessly go along. Say, oh, I'll take another 30, 40 years to do this. Oh, no. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, what about us? Surrounded by all these particular events, we think what Peter says in 2 Peter 3:11. What manner of men ought we to be in all manner of conversation, conduct, as we see these events taking place? In other words, it should stimulate us and make us aware of the work of the finishing touches that is going on in the providence of God. These events are like an alarm clock going off. And the more we can tally up of those things that confirm our faith, that it isn't guesswork, and that we can put each piece together, it makes us more conscious than ever of what Paul said. Hebrews 4 and 1. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us, any of us fail to complete the finishing work in ourselves. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us to be with the Lord, that he has given his wonderful high calling of God in Christ Jesus, that we might come short of that. This word fear is not reverence. Oh, yes, this word fear is used throughout the scriptures in many ways, and that of reverence of our Heavenly Father. But with trepidation, it means. We have to have a sense of trepidation, like a father and a son that are on the best of relationship. And a son in such a condition is sensitive to his father's wishes. He does not want to do anything that would displease his father. That is the kind of trepidation that we should have towards our Heavenly Father, not to displease him. Let us therefore walk with a measure of concern that we will come short. Yes, Jesus said he finished the work that was given to him. One more day's work for Jesus, we sing. Fewer days left for us to finish the work that he has given us to do. For one another, between one another, on behalf of others, and particularly within ourselves. Now a little fine-tuning. We are all aware of those final hours of the completion of a house, an object of art, a mechanical creation, anything at all that somebody is working on. And those final hours and laboriously which the mechanic might work away or a stonemason on some article are very vital. At the beginning of taking some article, there's a lot of rough sawing, and then there's a lot of sandpaper and the finishing touches. Very vital to make that particular object, whatever it is, to in a finished product. You look at something that is initially being made and hammered and nailed together, and a bit of putty in here where maybe he made a wrong mark, or like I do sometimes, I'm glad he invented wood putty because I can fill in little places. But just the same, after I've sandpapered it, you would hardly know. So, with the Lord, as he looks upon us in those final moments, individually that is, he is creating us an object of love, an article from his hand. And just then, as any creation made by anybody, those last and final moments are very, very vital. They are an important part. So when we were called, look back in your life to any distance of day, years or otherwise, you got a lot of knocks and bumps and so on that were rather rough. They were knocking off some of the rough edges. But then came fine sandpaper experiences. And you know, fine sandpaper can get things pretty hot, get the friction, get the warmth going. And it hurts. And sometimes, like our hymn says, we cry, enough, enough, Lord, enough. Even with that fine sandpapering, that then will put the complete the shaping of the article of each one, of you and of me. You've often seen an unfinished home on a street, right? It may sit with dangling paper on there, the winds have blown off, the boards are showing up, and maybe the person doesn't want to complete paying his taxes. One way of getting out of jumping your taxes out, leave your house unfinished. Well, we don't want to do that for the price and this wonderful call. But the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, 1 to 10 reminds us that we are going to have a house built for us in heaven. And we don't want to be unclothed. That is, not have a home. It will be so if we do not complete the finishing touches. Those finishing touches will assure us then of that house that the Lord is preparing for each saint beyond. And as a little illustration goes of those, some that have had gone beyond, and they landed up in one in a house over here, and another one pictorially in another house, another one over there, and the value of the house seemed to be so large apart. One was a very poor one, one was like a mansion. A little disturbance and jealousy arose with the one who just had a little common house. And the Lord said to him, well, you didn't send enough material over to complete it. And so with us, we are to lay up treasures in heaven then, those qualities that will pictorially, as it were, finish the house the Lord is building. Now, of course, we can't add to that house in the full sense, because that house is the new body that is being prepared for every saint. And we don't want to be unclothed or like a house that is unfinished on the street. We want the house that the Lord is preparing for us. He blesses them, ruler over 5 cities, 10 cities, and 1 city. One star differeth from star in glory. But in all cases, there has to be the finishing touches done, no matter how the value of that particular house. The following is rich with thought. I think Dolores had mentioned this many years ago in letters. The more the marble crumbles, the more the statue grows. The more the chipping takes place, and then you look at, as they work on a final statue, you look at that fine work that has to go on to bring out the veins, maybe, or the certain marks on the person of which they are copying and developing. The fine work. But the more it crumbles, the more that this wonderful statue is developing. So the more the Lord works upon us by hard chipping with the chisel and experiences, or the fine sandpaper, it all adds up to the finishing touches that he must perform if we are to enjoy that for which we have been promised. We find that a great work is taking place unknown to mankind at large, and that is the fact of the selecting of a bride for God's dear Son. Most marvelous work, and the world knows nothing about it. And just as Solomon's temple was brought together without a sound of a hammer, everything prefabbed out there in the quarry and marked and chiseled and shaped, including the cedars and as well as the stones, and then it was all packed in. No sounds, no quiet, all quiet. And then it was erected. All the work was done in the quarry. Here is the quarry, brethren. Day by day, your life, my life, wherever part of the quarry you are in, that's where the work is going on. And then, as each one goes beyond, silently fitting into that wonderful temple beyond the veil. We have to be submissive. That's our part of the work that is going on. We are not to rebel. And that's difficult at times. Yes, we cry, the stones off cry, "You hurt me sore." And yet in the end, know that the Lord knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly. And he's fitting each stone into a particular place in that wonderful temple. The refining process is now in those last and closing hours. And so we read by Paul in Romans 13:11-14. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." Look back to the year in which you first met the Lord along the way, and that since then he has led you. "Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed." The finishing touches then, we've come to that part of our lives. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." It is essential to have that armor of light. In Revelation, the 12th chapter, verse 1, there was a woman with 12 stars around her head, and she was gloriously arrayed in the sun, and she stood upon the moon. That glorious gospel message is necessary for every Christian to make his calling and election sure and to allow the finishing work to go on. "Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting, drunkenness, nor in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put you on the finishing touches of the Lord Jesus Christ to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." Only one way to go, brethren, in putting on these finishing touches. There is a standard there that is held up to us. We will be not forced into performing and accepting those standards. Nothing the Lord does is to force us. It is an invitation. If we do not value it sufficiently, then the Lord will lay aside that stone. It will not fit in to that particular place in the temple. We read in 1 Thessalonians 5:1-7, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You know that unexpected a change of events since the 1914, in which the year before at The Hague, they thought they had a civilization had come to a point that they would never go to war again to settle their differences. Sudden, unexpected trouble came upon them, like travail upon a woman with child. And you and I are still going through those travails until the actual birth of the earthly phase of that kingdom. The Lord promised in Matthew 19:28, "That ye which followed me in the regeneration, in the world's new birthday, you shall sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Yeah, the typical tribes, of course. So you see, we're well along, brethren, when the Lord is making up his cabinet members. "And ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Or some of our dear brethren have slipped back into the darkness and are not aware where we are on the stream of time. And not alert sufficiently to those finishing touches that must go on in us individually and collectively. But only so as we are able to appreciate these events. If these events slip from us and we put them on into the future, then certainly we will not be prepared at the time on the Lord's time clock. "Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that drunken are drunken in the night." Hebrews 12:2-3. Apostle Paul reminds us where the danger comes. Lest we let things slip, Wherefore, seeing you also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher, the completioner of our sacrifice, of our race course. He will stand by and give the guidance and the help for us to finish. Put on those finishing touches. Finish, Lord, thy new creation. Oh, it is so important that that new creation be finished for the further step of God's glorious plan of the ages. For consider him that endured such afflictions against himself, lest you become wearied and faint in your minds. That's the troubled area, brethren, is the fainting in our minds. As time lengthens out to what our brethren anticipated time-wise, and way back there with Brother Russell himself, anticipating 1914 would wind everything down, he looked forward to that date and his place in the kingdom and that of all the saints as the mystery of God was be finished. But it was not so. But the Lord allowed him to see that area of expectation a little clearer. Thank God for that. I think it's marvelous that in each volume and the four words, we all had the four words to every volume that put each volume in its proper place. We see our mistake concerning 1914. The times of the Gentiles, yes. The fullness of the Gentiles, yes. He brought it all into focus. He said, we see that we thought it was going to be one and the same thing. Time. They're all two different things, he says. Wasn't that wonderful that the Lord gave him that insight? How many brethren are willing to quote his final words upon that subject rather than digging and digging and needling the 1914 Pastor Russell taught that this thing would be all over? Let us give credit to anybody who is a writer who may change his opinion. Let us build that in to his final thoughts, which is so in the volumes as you run across those 1914 dates. And recognize he saw that he was going to lengthen out, that this grinding process could not be done in such a short period as he expected. And said, so he said, we don't know when the church will be completed. If we'd only acknowledge that, then we'll realize afresh where we are on the stream of time. And we have come down some 70 more years since 1916. We've come down another lifetime of people. And the work still goes on. Yes, it goes on. But don't forget, the time is shortening. The time is shortening. Finish, Lord, thy new creation is what we long for. And we long for our portion to be completed according to the wishes of the Lord. So if we're left here a little longer, always, number one, there is work to be done on self. That will never end. I remember a group of Bible students up our way many years ago. They thought and taught that by the time they would go beyond the veil, they would no longer need the robe of Christ's righteousness. That they would reach a stage of perfection. Not so, brethren. Somebody had lost sight of their failures and weaknesses forever to think that we would not need our Savior's robe, covered with the robe of His righteousness, given to us to be our bridal robe. And just as the dear bride is preparing herself and gets that wonderful bridal gown all ready and all the work and needlework that goes into it, now, those are beautiful expressions you and I are able to relate to. When it comes to the bride, the Lamb's wife has made herself ready. She's put on those finishing touches. I know I've seen Ruth different times with different ones being married. And they'll come rushing in and they're all frustrated about this and that. And there's a wrinkle down here. And is it sitting right? And all the rest of it. Great care and attention goes in to the wedding garment, doesn't it? And so with us. That is the completed church as well. Individually, we have a robe, and we are to do that needlework on it. Finishing touches, yes? And with us, because of the glorious plan of the ages, then we are able to appreciate them, the work, and the necessity of it, and why trials must come and sometimes be so discouraging. But it makes us aware there's a little more work to be done over here, a little more needlework over here, a little cutting out of something that we have needleworked in that shouldn't be there. And we have to take those threads out and start all over again. How patient the Lord is. But the Apostle Paul had great determination. And we want to copy him in the work of the finishing work that he did on himself and we need to do on ourselves. So in Acts 20, 24, but none of these things shall move me. Neither count I myself, my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course. That was his objective in life, brethren. He allowed nothing else to take place. You know that. You read the records. He gave everything he had. For what? That I might finish my course with joy. Oh, there are going to be some that will finish their course. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. They're going to finish their race course as by fire. We don't want to be of those that will finish their course so as by fire. We want to be of those that will use the gold, silver, and precious stones, the beautiful threads, as it were, to weave in now, voluntarily, and not be forced into the fire that is reserved for those that will chronologically be about the time, last part of the time of trouble. There will be those that will be left. They will come into the picture and will be saved so as by fire. They will not finish their course with joy like Paul did. For as he closed his ministry, he said, henceforth is laid up for me. He had an assurance as he reviewed his life, how faithful he had tried to be. May it be said of each one of us as we look through our lives, that we too could feel similarly, that while we have failed, we have struggled, and our conscience will tell us, and that we might be of those who then will receive that glorious reward. There is great danger of exhaustion when you are in a race in the last and final stretch. Exhaustion. And that's where the danger of the Lord's people. Philippians 1:6 assures us, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun this good thing in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Unto the day of Jesus Christ. He will go all out to help us in this process, brethren, of putting on the finishing touches. Now, one of the most beautiful pictures of this work of finishing and molding is that of Romans 9, 18 to 23. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will be, he will harden it. Thou wilt say then that unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Do you dare say to the great master workman, why have you made me like this? After all, he takes the clay. He's an expert. He is molding each one. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto less honor? Certainly he has the right to do that. So we will each be molded and shaped and positioned in his kingdom according to his wishes, not according to ours. All we have to do is to allow him work the finishing touches on us. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath before prepared unto glory? You and me, Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way, brother. The psalmist tells us that he found us thirsting in the desert. We lost our way in life. And we brought us into that well area. And he took us out of the miry clay. And he put our feet upon a rock. And he established our way. And he put a new song in our mouths, even his loving kindness. And he started us on the way. Or here, he took us as a pot and he began to work upon us. Psalm 45, wonderful works which thou hast done unto us. Wonderful works hast thou done unto us. And when I count up all thy blessings, the psalmist says, I cannot count them. There are too many. Yes, indeed they are, brethren, as we try to count our blessings. The apostle in Acts 15:18 says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, with that assurance, we had learned to appreciate from our divine plan chart that if the Lord was going to plan a bride for his son, then he had to work it in to the overall timing of the divine plan of the ages. Because after all, he knew the end from the beginning. And you and I have been blessed to understand that salvation was not to be offered at the first advent to all mankind as a day of salvation for them. But we have learned that this is this very special salvation to the gospel age class, the we, us, and them class, Hebrews 9:24, that his merit was applied in the presence of God for us. So we recognize the Lord had to work this in to his plan. And so we go to Isaiah, the 62nd chapter, verses 1 to 4. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Yes, he was going to send out his light, and it was going to go into the millennial age, and the Spirit and the bride's day come in Revelation 22:17, and the offer of life would go forth to mankind, grace to them. But in the meantime, he had a work to do, a very vital work. And he says, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name. Who? By this class that he's calling out, that he set aside the gospel age to perform that work. The new creation. Any man be in Christ, he is, not maybe, he is a new creation, if he has been accepted and begotten of the Holy Spirit. Thou shalt be called by a new name. Isaiah 33 and verse 16 reminds us of that new name that they are to be called. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereof she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Or, as Brother Wilf used to tell us frequently, Jehovah Tiskenu, our righteousness of Jehovah. And pick it up here again. A new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, for indeed the church seemingly has been forsaken for over 1900 years, buffeted by the world, not accepted, not realized just who these gems and jewels are. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, my joy, my delight is in thee. Yes, the Lord is waiting to complete this delight, this church class, this crown that he is making, and all the delicate work that has got to go in to the finishing of this new creation. And as the jeweler works upon a crown, there are marvelous things. The brightness of the gems placed in their respective place. The first gem to be put into this crown was Jesus Christ. His beloved Son was raised above all principalities and powers and set down on the right hand of God. Put into that wonderful crown. And there's 144,000 jewels that are being placed in there. But to get the best out of a jewel and its value, for when you take it from the earth, it doesn't look like very much and it doesn't have any value. So there must be a lot of work done on a gem, and then it is meticulously placed in a crown, or in a ring, wherever it might be. That is the kind of work, brethren, that the Lord is finally finishing at this time. And in the other symbol of the Revelation 19:6-8, and I heard as it were a voice, a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as a voice of thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. Yes, the mystery of God is finished. It will be shortly, brethren. Not too far down the road. It is later than we think. And his wife has made herself ready. Each individual has permitted the finishing touches to be applied. And the church as a whole will be completed. But she makes herself ready. Psalm 139:15-16 we read, My substance or my body was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. This is this mystery. The church, the selection of a church class. Christ in you to hope of glory. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's where you and I, every one of us came from. Raw jewels. And needed polishing, chiseling, perfecting, developing, shaping. To be put in that crown. Thine eyes did see my body. Yet being imperfect, unfinished, incomplete. And in thy book, all my members were written. Each member written in the Lamb's book of life. Which in continuance was fashioned when as yet there were none of them. That number predestinated, according to Paul, Romans 8:29-30, that we should be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. Finishing touches that have to go in, brethren, to the work on every one of us. So by recognizing then the work and time in which we are in, the events, it stimulates us, as it were, to get with it. And to remember what Peter then said, that when you see these things come to pass, that Jesus said, lift up your head, for your deliverance draweth nigh. I believe we're not too far away then in time. With 113 years of harvest work gone by, 70 years of this, 71 years since the passing of Brother Russell himself, certainly we are well along. And that makes me, therefore, walk in trepidation, not being involved with the world and the things about us, but realize what lies ahead for us. It is serious business. Just as a designer of an article employs others to work on an article, the Apostle Paul was one of those. And in Philippians, he tells us, being confident in Philippians 1:6-10, and being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, you see, in developing the likeness of Christ in us, this good work, he says, have begun a good work in you, he will perform it. He will complete the finishing. If we, like the putty, will lie submissive before him, he's promised to complete it. He's not going to develop a dish halfway through and leave it that way and forsake us. No, he will finish it. He promised to do that. If we catch the thought of our submissiveness to him. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel. It was Paul's delight then that he could work on part of this crown that God was developing. So in Philippians 4:1-9, he shapes this up and he says, Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, my longed for, my joy and my crown. You see, he takes a personal interest in the thing he is working upon. Each individual there in the church at Philippi was like a part of that crown. That's beautiful. You know, we have assembly lines today that push through equipment, some wonderful types of cars, etc., etc., but it just gets barreled through. Where is that craftsmanship work that used to be? That fine finishing work There are a few in the world that work on various articles, but it's not the common thing, is it? Paul says, I like that work with my hands as I work on a jewel. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy, my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What an appeal to you and to me as we translate it from Paul's words from 1900 years ago until the time now. Paul and the others and those that worked on the jewels back there in their day now are guiding and guarding, caring for the last members of the church and during this harvest time. Yes, in Revelation 14 tells us that their labor shall cease, but their work shall go on. They're not standing idle by. Divine beings being trained and taught and instruction in going to some kind of a school. Why, what a discrediting of divine beings. The church members that are there are busy caring for the church, working in the world, organizing this and that, bringing to light the hidden things of darkness. They're busy beyond the veil. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women, those which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with others my fellow laborers. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And finally, brethren, he says, as he was saying, put on the finishing touches. Complete the finishing touches. Brethren, whatsoever things are true, lovely, honest, of good report, just think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received. However far every one of us has come in this hall, in the work of developing and shaping in the hands of God, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, do, and thy God of peace shall be with thee. Yes, this earthly house, brethren, this earthly house. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hand, eternal in the heavens. You tell me I'm getting old, but that's not really so. The house I live in may be worn, and that, of course, I know. It's been in use a good long while and weathered many a gale. I'm therefore not surprised to find it's getting somewhat frail. You tell me I'm getting old. You mix myself, my house with me. You're looking at the outside. That's all that most folks see. The dweller in the little house is young and bright and gay, just starting on a life that lasts through long and eternal way. The color changing of the roof, the windows looking dim, the walls a bit transparent and getting rather thin. The foundation's not so steady as once it used to be, and that is all that you observe. But it's not really me. I patch the old house up a bit to make it last the night, but soon I shall be going to my house of endless light. I'm going to live wherever there, forever there. My life goes on, it's grand. How can you say I'm getting old? You do not understand. These few short years can't make me old. I feel I'm in my youth. Eternity lies just ahead, full of life and joy and truth. We will not fret to see this house grow shabby day by day, but look ahead to our new home, which never will decay. I want to be made fit to dwell in that blessed house above, cleansed in the precious blood of Christ and growing still in love. The beauty of that glorious home, no words can ever say. 'Tis hidden from these mortal eyes, but kept for some day. My house is getting ready in the land beyond the sky. Its architect and builder is my Savior now on high. But I'd rather think he's leaving the furnishing to me. So it's treasures in heaven I must store each day, you see. God bless and help you in the finishing touches.
Thank you, Brother Charlie, for reminding us of these finishing touches. The question does come up amongst us at times, how many are beyond the veil? Are there 143,000 gone beyond the veil and 1,000 here? We don't really know, do we? We can't answer that question. But we do know that those who are left behind have to put on these finishing touches, don't they? And we're very thankful to be reminded of that. Brother Charlie has selected for a closing hymn, number 82, very fitting to the subject, the bridal robe. Hymn number 82. Sing all three verses. Stand as we sing the last verse. Our dear loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy wondrous holy name. In reverence we come to thee, our great Father. We thank you that you have arranged that our dear Savior should have a bride. For this wonderful call, help us to evaluate it, Father, more day by day in the face of events and where we are in the stream of time, and run with patience the race that is set before us. To continue with us in this congregation, this convention, in these days at hand, that we may go away feeling it is good to be here, dear Father, and try to practice these things more and to adorn this robe by thy grace. Finish, Lord, thy new creation, for Jesus' sake.
The wood tractor, he wants to finish it natural or something. There's more beauty to it. I couldn't. I had too much putty in my head. I had to cover it up with
paint.
You had
to paint it over.
And I thought, well, what an illustration. You have to put on those finishing touches.
Yeah.
A good lesson.
Yeah. Sure, a piece of wood, or the finishing, even the type of iron you use. Those people that finish wood, marvelous the way they wrap it down.
Yeah, I think it is. I don't know.